Live from Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
Having always been accused by staunch American patriots of being a foreign enemy, the United Nations came into existence in October of 1945. And before they even broke ground for their headquarters, Zhiming Zhe, a delegate from the Republic of China, lobbied for the World Health Organization to be created under the auspices of the United Nations. The first director general of the WHO was G. Brock Chisholm, who wrote how parents teaching morality to their own children was a problem that should be remedied by a world government. In 1959, the WHO signed agreement WHA-12-40 with the International Atomic Energy Agency. The agreement between the two parties stated that whenever either organization proposes to initiate a program or activity on a subject in which the other organization has or may have a substantial interest, the first party shall consult the other with a view to adjusting the matter by mutual agreement. And as a result, we have seen the WHO remain silent throughout the Chernobyl incident as well as Fukushima. After serving as the director of health in Hong Kong during the 1997 H5N1 outbreak and the 2003 SARS outbreak, Margaret Chan was harshly criticized by the Hong Kong Legislative Council for not acting swiftly and for parroting mainland propaganda. She was then hired as director to the World Health Organization. In 2007, the WHO began partnering with vaccine manufacturers as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And in 2009, Margaret Chan declared the H1N1 influenza virus a pandemic and fast-tracked vaccines as the ultimate solution to world health. The WHO came under international scrutiny for making vaccine manufacturers rich while falsely inflating public fear of viral outbreaks. It appeared as if the WHO was taking orders from Big Pharma and the Gates Foundation. In 2007, as the health minister of Ethiopia, Tedros Adhanom was accused of covering up three separate cholera epidemics. A week later, he was made director of the World Health Organization. In January of 2020, during the COVID-19 outbreak, Tedros praised China for their authoritarian reaction.
The Chinese government is to be congratulated for the extraordinary measures it has taken to contain the outbreak. China is actually setting a new standard for outbreak response, and it's not an exaggeration.
In February, he announced that there is no reason to restrict international travel.
There is no reason for measures that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade.
In March, he suggested that the entire world should imitate the extreme measures carried out in Wuhan.
Wuhan reported no new cases for the first time since the outbreak started. Wuhan provides hope for the rest of the world that even the most severe situation can be turned around.
The WHO has declared that they will need to forcibly remove family members from their homes.
In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Assistant WHO Director Bruce Aylward recently demonstrated the WHO's unwavering loyalty to China when asked if the WHO would consider
allowing Taiwan. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday, April 19th, 2020, Patriots Day. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be live here for the next 2 hours. And to say that we've got important information is an understatement. This country is at war right now by globalists and their collaborators inside our country trying to create a Great Depression. But America is awakening.
We'll be right back.
It is an act of war to shut down the economy of a farming or industrial state. But at least with those economies, the people are somewhat self-sufficient. But when you shut down a service economy that we were promised under globalism is going to be so good for the earth, well, you make the population obsolete. And that's really the term being introduced now with this whole UN world government power grab you're seeing that just sets the stage for the real power grabs that are coming in the future. And that is, you are non-essential. You are obsolete. Just like the old Twilight Zone episode. In fact, we have a short intro when I always ask for it. We always play the short intro. But if you just go to YouTube and type in the obsolete man, Twilight Zone, you'll get the intro of it. And that's what we play next segment. But that's what authoritarians tell you. How would they have a show back in the early 1960s about being obsolete with Rod Serling? Who'd been a big anti-authoritarian, big anti-Nazi, big anti-communist. He wrote those stories. Where'd he come up with this? Well, he'd seen it. In fact, he says in the intro to The Obsolete Man, he says, this isn't new. This is from the old world, just in our modern time. A system that wants to make the individual obsolete. So when you hear, oh, you're non-essential, and the big banks will give you a check with strings attached, but you'll also owe tax money on that down the road. This is called slavery. But here's my big message tonight. For any regular listener, it'll sound like a broken record. You're like, okay, we've been hearing for 11 weeks. Since early February, I have the articles and videos right here, that the communist Chinese released a bioweapon out of the Wuhan bioweapons lab, and that under Obama and under Fauci and the NIH in 2012 through 2017, they transferred a chimera coronavirus artificially created to China. And that it was insane, it had gain of function, and was highly communicable, and would be more deadly than the common flu, and spread worse than the common cold. Now, it's since come out that the Pentagon and Associated Press have gotten the documents that indeed it came out of Wuhan, and the Chinese worked with the WHO to cover it up. That's broke a week ago, 10 weeks after we first told you specifically what happened. We didn't just say, oh, it came out of the lab. We specifically told you. And they had Indian universities and German universities and then U.S. labs look at the virus and say, the damn thing is as phony as a $3 bill or a plastic banana. It has the insertions of 4 to 5 viruses in it. Now the discoverer of the HIV virus, who won a Nobel Prize and is arguably the top virologist in the world. I have the articles right here. Cover them next segment. Came out to the world a week ago. I didn't learn about it for 5 days. And said, I've looked at it. We've scanned the virus at our laboratory because they have those systems. And the Indians and others are damn right. It's 100% lab made. And then the U.S. government trying to say, okay, it came out of Wuhan, but it was naturally occurring. No, only genetic engineering creates these. It's incredible. So the headline of the crew wants to pull it up is, the discoverer of HIV, Nobel Prize winner, says coronavirus had to come from a lab. That's the headline. There it is, newswars.com. Scientist who discovered HIV says COVID-19 could only have come and be created in a lab. So you might want to get that and you might want to read that. And then you go, oh, well, Facebook says that's fake news and so is the Washington Post. Do you know the fact checker group they use is a female scientist named Danielle Anderson, who wrote papers on bats and weaponized SARS-CoV-19. Did you hear me? But wait, it gets better. On her own bio, on her own webpage, she says she's also developed the test for COVID-19 and is making a pretty penny. Did you hear me? It'd be one thing if she worked at the Wuhan lab and ran all the censorship for Facebook and for the Washington Post and everybody else and, you know, silences the president and says he's wrong, but doesn't tell you when she's doing it that you know, she works at Wuhan. But then it turns out she works with the bats where they grind up the bats, the dead bats, and feed them to the piglets to get them sick. They feed those to other piglets to isolate the mutagenic virus that's able to jump species. That's all in the papers that AP got a week ago. It turns out she's involved in it and ran the damn project. So the woman writing papers at Wuhan, running projects with weaponized COVID coronaviruses, runs the Facebook group that's then approved so that all their media decides it's the fact checker that trumps the president, Alex Jones, scientists, the FBI, the Defense Department, and then she works there and works with the bats and makes money off the test they developed. How the hell they have a test ready? You know, a lot of times the police will, if there's been an arson, they see as a suspect whoever first called it in. And they show up, it's an old lady, and she's all freaked out. They go, yeah, that's not her. But if it's like a young kid or maybe usually it's a fire department person, you know, because a lot of fire department people are great, but there's a certain statistic that a lot of fires that get set are by fire department people because there's weirdos that want to be heroes. And sometimes the bomb squad guys get caught planting bombs. You know, it's a well-known thing. So it's kind of like when she works there, she works on these. She's the fact checker. She's got a blood test they're adopting. She's making money off of it. And now we know it came out of the lab and she's telling us it didn't. Wow. Talk about the fox guarding the hen house. This is next level. But again, the deeper you get into all this, the crazier it gets by the minute. The crazier it gets by the second. The more insane when you pull back it all is. Because Bill Gates launched Event 201 in November where a coronavirus kills 65 million and they bring in world government to force inoculation and an embedded microchip that's an ink so you can't cut it out of your body that's in the vaccine. I mean, this is all being announced. And then he's heavily involved funding the NIH that specifically funds the Wuhan lab developing chimera coronaviruses. And then the fact checker that decides who can talk about what works there on these very projects and, don't worry, has a blood test coming right out for you and your family. And you know how much those cost. We're talking about billions of dollars here, billions and billions. So they script themselves as the saviors. They script themselves as the people taking over society. They're the experts. And Fauci and the NIH headed up that program for Obama, transferring the money from North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to the communist Chinese Wuhan lab. And all we did was point this out 11 weeks ago. And we got attacked for it. They're trying to indict me right now because of it. But it doesn't matter. I'm going to expose them. They will burn in hell. I will burn in hell before I ever sit there and back down to what's going on. But it's all coming out and they don't know what to do. And the internet's on fire with this. Everybody's reporting, oh, Bill Gates is getting beat up. They claim he has a stake in a vaccine falsely. They claim he wants a forced inoculation falsely. They claim he wants a digital tattoo falsely. While he's all on video announcing it, they're going, oh, no, that's not true. And now there's two petitions. One of them's past the threshold, 300,000 plus signatures to investigate Bill Gates and the eugenicists for their connections to this.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie!
No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Turns out the woman that works for Bill Gates, who created the test, runs the lab and owns the test and does the fact checking for Facebook. Very small group of criminals, man. Very easy to beat them. Well, we got to admit we're being attacked by criminals to beat them. You got to admit they're criminals. You got to admit they're pulling this stuff to beat them.
And they've got their operatives out here now, testing, you know, the truth. But America knows this was the attempt to shut us down and shut down our free assembly and shut down our First Amendment. But Texas, I salute you all. Texas is leading the way against this tyranny. Exercising this freedom of speech, all Americans and all American businesses are essential. Don't let them tell you like the Nazis did that you are not essential. Whether you are old, whether you are young, whether you are black, whether you are white, you are essential. America is essential. And this is 21st century war. attempting to shut us down. And Texas is leading the way against these tyrants. And I am honored to be with you. This sign says it all. Choose freedom. Choose Texas. Choose Texas. Choose freedom. Tycom bio attack is over, and Texas, as goes Texas, so goes the nation, and we are leading the way out of this fraud. God bless you, and God bless Texas. Choose freedom, choose America, not fear, not propaganda, and the whole lie is falling in. It's all a psyop. God bless you. Other fingers, get up here. We don't live in fear of some made-up virus. We know the globalists and the media are the enemy, and America is the worst. I salute you all! 1776 worldwide! Texas worldwide! USA! 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 America is rising!
Is the Chi-Com globalist bioweapon attack? Is the Chi-Com globalist bioweapon attack? And you have stood up against the enemy!
You know, I didn't even start the broadcast today with the fact that all over the country, people came out and said, this is a bunch of BS. The flu kills 37,000 people, 35,000 people on average. The biggest year since the Spanish flu was, that was like 50 million worldwide, they think, was 80,000 in 2018. Boy, I thought being vaccinated for it would protect you. Studies actually show it lowers your immunity to other flu viruses when you take the flu vaccine. And the crazy part is, Bill Gates doesn't even deny that now when he goes on TV. He's like, oh, well, you know, I can't imitate him very well. But it turns out flu vaccines don't work very well. And he giggles about it. So now he's got a cold virus for you. Most people don't die from a cold virus, but if you take a cold virus vaccine, just like other viruses, it'll lower your immunity. And so now he's got that for you. And God knows what else he's loaded up in that baby. I mean, you type in Bill Gates sponsored vaccine programs, killing people all over the world. I mean, they used to wave the white doctors in Africa over. Now they run from them or they try to kill them. Because the natives will tell you take that shot, you never have a baby again. You take that shot, you get cancer. You take that shot, you have a convulsion. They are loading them full of stuff. And I can play you Bill Gates. I played it probably 5 times last week, 10 times or more. He said, oh, we're going to have a planetary vaccine, and it's going to hurt 700,000 people at least. So we need liability protection. Unbelievable. Robert Barnes was on Fox News last night. Famous constitutional lawyer in studio. Robert Barnes threatens lawsuits against tyrannical Democrat governors. He'll be in studio.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
You know, I've not been choking lately on air. I'm never at a loss for words, but I've been having to more and more just go to special reports. Because I am completely enraged. We know the communist Chinese, working with the deep state, released this virus on purpose. We know they lied about what was going to happen. We know they then hyped it up to shut down our economy. We know that they have the very fact checkers running Facebook censorship and Washington Post censorship. They're telling the president to shut up. Worked at the Wuhan lab. You cannot make this up. It's a very small group of technocrats in big tech and in big pharma that are running all this, and that's really what Bill Gates is a big pharma tyrant, a eugenicist. So, the good news is all over the country, people are calling it. we're talking 90, 95%. Robert Barnes, constitutional lawyers, really does a great job breaking the numbers down. But this thing is way, way lower, 90% at least what they said. Even if we had total shutdown, it's 90% lower, or you know, 10% of what it would have been. But now you're seeing the headlines. Well, look, this curve isn't totally, you know, bell-shaped. Oh, my gosh, it's kind of going up and down again because it's so flatlined. It's just bumping along. So now they're zooming in on the lower curve, telling you to forget what they said before. And MIT is telling you this and MIT is telling you that. But Americans are going back to the beach. They're going back to church. Federal judges are ruling they can't do this. They can't lock America down. We have a Bill of Rights. We have a Constitution. And so they're freaking out. But I've seen the media call. Alex Jones has children. Why, his children need to be taken. He went out to a demonstration yesterday, even though it's free speech and I'm, quote, essential because I'm media. Everybody's essential. They have to get rid of racism, which is a good thing because people woke up to it and said no to it. Christians did. So now it's, oh, essential, non-essential. It's a new class system being brought in. And Robert Barnes is here. He was on Fox News last night. Attorney Robert Barnes threatens lawsuit against tyrannical Democrat governors. Well, he didn't threaten a lawsuit. He filed one in Michigan, and he's got a bunch of others ready. So, Robert Barnes, tell us what's happening. Good to have you here.
Absolutely. So, we filed suit against the governor of Michigan for violation of First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment rights, and Fifth Amendment rights. We are going to be filing suit. We also filed suit against the mayor of Chattanooga, my hometown, who was denying people the ability to do drive-in Easter services. And he actually retracted within 8 hours of receiving notice of the suit. So hopefully other politicians will follow suit. But we are looking at filing suit. We've received requests from people all across the country to file First Amendment, either First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth or Fifth Amendment claims against various mayors and governors. This includes, and what we are looking at is filing suits against the governors of Maine, governor of New Jersey, governor of New Hampshire, the governor of Maryland, the governor of California, the governor of Nevada, and potential suits also in Washington and Oregon. And there are other lawyers helping out and other lawyers filing suits as well. We're going to make our suits publicly available, all the language of them, all the legal briefs behind them, so that people can cut and paste at will, no copyright assertion, just borrow, use as needed and necessary so that people can file their own legal claims all across the country.
So instead of having fake Soros, Bill Gates-funded lawfare against patriots, these are people filing really well-written suits for everybody's Bill of Rights, everybody's Constitution, just to get them off our back, not to shut down other people's speech, you know, not to hurt somebody, but to make government leave us alone.
Exactly. It's the only thing the governors and mayors are going to respect, as the mayor of Chattanooga showed, is that if you file suit, because here's what the risk they face. They face the risk that a court says that what they did was unconstitutional. A court in Kansas has just ruled that on Friday, that the attempts by the Kansas governor to close down church services was in fact a violation of First Amendment rights, the right of free expression, the right of peaceable assembly. We are seeing threats all across the country. In New Jersey, somebody just held a simple engagement party, and the family was not only issued citations, they're issued child endangerment citations. I'm receiving a word from different people across the country. People's custody of their children is being threatened based on public participation in public protest. This is all outrageous constitutional violations. I brought some of the very first First Amendment claims against those kind of actions, both in New York on behalf of Wesley Snipes many years ago, and in Tennessee when I was just a kid lawyer, where the judge was surprised that the word constitution was being used in court, which was a sort of an early alert signal that we had some problems in the judiciary. But we're going to be bringing cases as many places as possible. We're going to create the template so that people can cut and paste and bring their own cases. The goal is to educate governors, educate mayors, educate politicians that they face meaningful risk and exposure if they continue to oppress and suppress people's civil rights.
And I want to get more into that and play your Fox piece when we come back. But let's get into this. When you've been doing your new show you're doing here weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m., and when I say commercial free, we've cut our network breaks out. The local breaks are there for radio and TV stations. A lot of folks are tuning in. A lot of stations are carrying it. They can find all the archives of that at band.video right there in the American Countdown Robert Barnes section. So click the left-hand side, and it pulls down. You've shown all the official maps have been 5 times, 20 times, 30 times, on average about, 10 times bigger death rate. Even if we did the lockdown social distancing, they said it would be, up here, but really it's all the way down here. For TV viewers, go over the numbers for radio listeners of just what a giant hoax this has been.
Absolutely. So the panic from the pandemic was all about how hospitals were going to be over capacity. And this was the only public policy excuse for the shutdown. And while no shutdown like this has ever occurred in the modern history of pandemics anywhere in the world until now, they suddenly said that this pandemic posed such a unique risk that they had to take remedies that had never been approved of and had no scientific and medical literature support from prior to this pandemic. So their basis was models out of the Imperial College of the United Kingdom, as well as models out of a University of Washington
Association. And now they've revised theirs down over 90%. Everyone's like, oh, and they go, oh, it's because you didn't go outside. No, it's 9 times lower, I've saw in their numbers. We can put up their graphs. Than what they even projected if we were all locked up forever.
Absolutely. And one,
they're discredited. They're a fraud.
Absolutely. And one key to this is that there's a lag time for things like deaths, for things like hospitalizations. So the shutdown simply could not have had an impact on a large number of this data anyway. And we're also seeing states and regions and locations that either shut down later or did not shut down at all, seeing the exact same results as those here, and often better results than those places that did shut down earlier. So, for example, Sweden is not experiencing this hospitalization overcapacity, and they didn't shut down at all. Instead, they just said protect the elderly, protect the vulnerable, practice practical social distancing. That's it. So the Taiwan did not shut down at all. They're experiencing one of the best outcomes, even though they neighbor China. South Korea did not shut down at all. They're not experiencing anything like the scale and scope of what we're experiencing.
But let's go further. It's because they admit, this is on record, folks, that they're counting every death, whether car wreck, heart attack, cancer, gunshot. If you test positive for COVID-19, they say you died of that. Bricks and Fauci admit that on TV. I played the clips. But it gets worse. They admit that almost all the tests are 60%+ faulty and call any common cold virus COVID-19. So it's fraud upon fraud upon fraud upon fraud.
Well, it's what Professor Ioannidis from Stanford warned. He said that this was an evidence-based process, and they were not using evidence, and they were exaggerating data and exaggerating information, and the exaggerations have only got worse. You have doctor whistleblowers all across the country reporting to people like Alex Berenson, the former New York
Times. Oh, yeah, I want to get her on. How CDC is manipulating COVID-19 toll, and that's, again, major whistleblower, another doctor coming out saying the same thing we're saying. Meanwhile, in Germany, they're arresting doctors and lawyers and people that come out and point this out.
Exactly, because in Europe, there is no constitutionally protected free speech for the most part. And so we're seeing what's happening. I mean, it's probably not a coincidence that Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, originally started out with all of this saying, let's use the same approach that the German people used in World War II, which was, of course, under the Nazi regime. And they're employing the same tactics, similar techniques, similar methods, similar protocols. And it's the same thing happening on a mass scale.
So let's be clear. And we put the graphs up earlier from all these different universities and groups. That's why they're having to revise down to like 50,000 dead now. But then we realize, wait a minute, you're adding all these false positives to that.
Right.
And that's why they're admitting, they're all really old. So what they do is they just list all the old people
as
dying from COVID-19 and set up a giant martial law shutdown that threatens to actually create mass death.
And in fact, and what they're doing also is, that's why the relevant stat is excess fatalities, the actual using the baseline deaths of how many more deaths are happening than expected. And actually, that number has stayed below average by the CDC.
Stay right there.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Who's now filing a civil rights lawsuit against the governor of Michigan. All right, Mr. Barnes, what do you say in the lawsuit against the governor?
It's very simple. There is no emergency exception to the Bill of Rights. The 14th Amendment requires that the governor respect the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th Amendment rights of the people of Michigan, and she has not done so. So President Trump is right. It's time to liberate Michigan from the governor who would call herself queen, who effectively has decided to quarantine the Constitution instead of quarantining the virus. And so we have brought suit on behalf of people whose right to peaceably assemble, whose rights of their business and their profession and their occupation has been stripped of them without due process of law, and their property taken away without just compensation as required under the 1st and 5th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Now, do you believe that all of these state lockdowns, these shelter in places, the social mitigation, do you believe they're all unconstitutional, or do you just believe that the Michigan governor went way overboard?
The Michigan governor went way overboard. So there were some sincere efforts by many governors in places like Tennessee and Texas and some other locations to say that if you're exercising your constitutional rights, that is by definition essential activity. So if it's core constitutional liberty, it has to be essential activity exempt from any shutdown order. Unfortunately, the governor of Michigan, like some other governors in Virginia, we're going to be filing suit in other places too, went way beyond that. She banned people from buying seeds, buying flags, going out to the park. You name it. It's insane.
Yeah, she was saying, like, you can go out in a lake in a kayak, but you can't go out in a lake in a motorboat. It doesn't make any sense. So also you have situations where people are now driving past their church, listening to the pastor preach on a megaphone, and police are actually, I guess, on governor's orders, handing out fines at a tune of $1,000.
Oh, exactly. I mean, in my hometown, we ended up bringing suit against the mayor of Chattanooga, where I'm from in Chattanooga, because on Easter Sunday, he told all the pastors that if they went ahead with their drive-in church services, that he would use all of his power to punish them by any means possible. And this is where, in Chattanooga, you can drive in to get a lottery ticket, you can drive in to get a liquor bottle, but you can't drive in to pray. You can't drive in to see your fellow parishioners, many of whom the only mechanism or means they had to do fellowship was that method, because they either have limitations on social media access or other methods of doing church services. This is a violation of the First Amendment right that prohibits governments from restraining or restricting religious expression in any way, particularly when they're allowing the same form of expression for things like buying lottery tickets or liquor bottles.
I mean, it's absolutely insane. I don't know what they're thinking. It's really about enforcement. It's like you're dragging the guy off the bus for not wearing a mask. He can probably just pull his shirt over his face for the duration of the ride. All right, Robert, I know you're filing another suit about people trying to get ballot petition signed and they can't lawfully assemble and things like that. We'll touch on that perhaps next week, but let us know how the litigation goes and keep us posted. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, so let me just point this out. What happened to due process? Alex Jones here, back live. What happened to due process? And what happened to innocent until proven guilty? It's a virus. And so you were walking down the street, you weren't wearing a mask, so we're going to give you a ticket or take you to jail. Or, oh, you went to church and you took your kids. Well, somebody might have a virus. And in most Texas counties, there's not even one case, but it doesn't matter. You're still guilty. Oh, but the illegal aliens can still come in. Oh, they can all still do whatever they want. I've got articles on Infowars.com. What shutdown? 1,000 Afghan refugees a month, military-age men, are still pouring in unvetted. Democrats didn't care about TB and tuberculosis and all that stuff pouring across. So, again, clearly the Democrats now want to keep the economy shut down. We predicted this. Now they're saying on national television that this is a referendum on Trump. It's not about Russiagate. It's all about the virus and how he responds. And if he opens things up, it's his fault. But if he doesn't open things up, it isn't his fault. I'd say there was well over 500 at a time, maybe 1,000 people out at the Texas Capitol yesterday. Local news all said there were 50 people there, and they showed little cropped edges of the crowd. So again, this just shows the total deception. They're running national TV ads saying this whole family, all 5 kids and both parents, died of coronavirus. All of it's a lie. I mean, the level of push by corporate America and Bill Gates captaining this is crazy.
Well, I get the sort of news feed and email feed of various newspapers all across the country. And every headline now for weeks has been death, 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 more virus, more virus, more virus, more virus. It's entirely intended to induce panic. And we're experiencing sort of a Milgram experiment for the entire civil society.
Explain what the Milgram experiment was.
So the Milgram experiment was done in the 1960s. To show whether or not people will obey someone and inflict pain on an innocent stranger solely on the instruction of someone in a white lab coat. They know nothing about them except for the fact that they're in a white lab coat. So they bring them in and they get paid $100 and they say, here's maybe someone you may know, someone you may not know, but when they don't answer something correctly, you're going to give them the number of shocks, electric shocks that I tell you. And it goes all the way up to 450 volts. Now, the person on the other side, unbeknownst to the person doing it, isn't actually feeling the shock. They're just going to express the emotive pain that would come with that if, in fact, they were feeling it. But so the person's sitting there, and they just have a person in a white lab coat telling him, shock him, please continue. And at various points, people will say, oh, the person's screaming, they're yelling, maybe they're going to die, maybe they're going to suffer debilitating illness. Should I just continue to keep hitting these buttons that go shock, 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 higher and higher and higher and higher? And instead, what the person in the white lab coat tells them is, please continue, the experiment must go on. Please continue, the experiment must go on. And what is extraordinary is that most people that participated continued. The experiment did, in fact, go on. They went ahead and obeyed someone just because they were in a white lab coat telling them to do
so. So what it is, it's an appeal to authority. But if we could simply walk through the facts, again, depending on whether it's the British Royal Academy or whether it was that medical lab in Seattle's the other big one I see.
Right. Yep. And that's a Bill Gates funded organization.
Bill Gates funded group out there. It's literally 30, 40 times what they said the fear level was. On average, about 10 times less than what they said. If you do everything we say, but now they're taking credit, as I said earlier, and going, oh, it's because you didn't go out, this happened. And if you go out, it's going to come back. Well, of course, with all these testing kits that count any type of cold virus as COVID-19, and they go, oh, look, America, we said this 10 weeks ago. When the media is like testing, 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 and then China and nobody else does testing, we do testing, and we find the common cold and then misappropriate it and then count every person that dies. On average, there are tens of thousands of people every day dying of natural causes in the U.S.
Yes, of course.
There are hundreds of thousands dying every day worldwide.
Right.
And so this is literally, if you're an individual, you're like, well, thousands dying a day in car wrecks in the U.S. is a lot, until you realize there's 330-plus million people.
Yeah.
And so it's all a perception game. And what was crazy, we'll play it next hour, Bill Maher, of all people, came out like it was an Alex Jones episode and said, he goes, listen, mass shootings are terrible. And kids die, but it's still very rare. Shark attacks are very rare, but it's still scary. You think about it when you're swimming. What the hell happened to Bill Maher that he's finally getting it?
Well, it's extraordinary. I think those people, like, for example, we've seen a lot of pushback from Stanford scientists. Stanford scientists are not as contaminated by some of the people with a certain politicized agenda in all of this. So you compare, like, for example, the people that were involved. You look at Duke University as one of the biggest connections to China of any medical institution in the West. You find the Duke University has connections to the woman that was involved in checking things for Facebook that had also worked at the Wuhan library, at the Wuhan biology facility. So you go into the data and you find people that have a political motivation to pursue a certain agenda.
Yeah, they're on the Chinese payroll.
Meanwhile,
Stanford's protected the Pentagon, so they're not going with China.
Right. It's either backed by people that have ties or various forms of alliance or allegiance to China, or even more so, people like Bill Gates and other political.
But Bob, let's go further. She's the head of science fact checking for Facebook, and she works with bats and coronavirus at Wuhan.
Well, the key.
What
is,
the hell?
Oh, exactly. If you go deeper into it, she's part of an organization that's also part of climate change group. So it's a climate change group.
Of course, and it's all anti-human. Humans deserve this. We're going to go to break. Absolutely. By the way, folks, people are like, well, wait a minute. You're saying we should get prepared, but then the virus is a hoax. No, this is a real virus. It really kills people. They're just hyping up how bad it is and saying lock down your life. The economy shutting down will cause hundreds of millions to starve the next couple of years, conservatively. Millions are already starving. I've got all the proof, mainline admissions of that. Next hour with Barnes, we've got it. It's all coming up. But don't forget, other companies say they've got storable food. There's already food shortages. They don't. If you want to get the lowest price on wholesale, high-quality storable food and actually give it delivered to you, we had to suspend taking new orders for a few weeks because we have to make sure we get all the old orders out. We're taking orders again. They're getting them out even faster. We're ahead of schedule getting it to folks, but you need to order your storable food now for the depression, for globalism, for them trying to suspend the election. And if we don't win this round, they're going to use shutting down economies and starving us as non-essential cattle. That's the whole models being introduced, is the Soviet lockdown. So you need storable food that lasts 25 years, that's high quality. With inflation, all that stuff, you save money. We're the best place to get storable food, and we have it ready for you now. InfoWarsStore.com. They've not raised prices yet, but they're going to have to soon, and they may have to stop taking orders again.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We want your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul.
defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Show us your habits, your facts, your fears. Give us your address.
A very stressful time, ladies and gentlemen, for everybody. We should all pray for peace and pray for justice. I know I've been particularly wound up. And I apologize to people on and air and behind the scenes as well. But these globalists gloating over the power grab. And obviously China hyped up for cameras. You get sent to a gulag there if you film something you're not supposed to. Hyped up, total police state hysteria, welding people in homes, Day of the Dead level macabre. But while also then saying, oh, but no one's dying, now they're having to up the number. And the media is criticizing Trump for not believing China when they, you know, say that they have the lowest death rate in the world, Barnes. What do you think's behind that?
I think there's different aspects of it. I think there are people that want to replicate the Chinese social credit system in the United States. And so that even if there isn't, say, it may not be in the interest of different people within China for this to continue unabated, but it is with the interest of those people who want to export its model of governance to the world. And they're getting to experiment with it in live time right now because they're seeing, for the most part, mass compliance. There's increasing levels of disobedience, and that's critical. The more neos in the system, the less the matrix can survive. And that is what's critical and essential.
And by the way, diversity, all the studies show, empowers an economy. And diversity, smaller businesses, people being mavericks, that's what made America so great. We have our own problems. The big mega corporations want automatons. They want robots.
And in fact, they're using this right now to actually wipe out small businesses and enrich themselves. That's why big business like Ruth's Chris gets a huge portion of the bailout money meant for small businesses, while small businesses did not.
By the way, let's expand on that. We have a video we're going to be premiering tomorrow that isn't ready yet that the great Greg Reese is putting together. Okay, we looked at ID 2020 and his digital ink microchip they inject under you when you get the vaccine.
Right.
That tracks you. But lo and behold, we always said it'll be to track and control you for your job and to buy and sell. Bill Gates admits in the patent that's actually the plan as a digital ID.
Oh, absolutely.
That Bill Gates goes, oh, by the way, you all got that to be tracked for your vaccine. Obviously, I later said it'll be used for that. That's the extension. They admit day one, he will have everyone on Earth implanted with his digital currency, which is the mark of the beast. Now, we all knew it was going there. Everybody said it's mark of the beast. But they're actually admitting day one up front, that's it.
Well, and the question was, how could you convince masses of people in the Western world to agree to this? And it turns out a pandemic is the perfect pretext to do it. Because people wouldn't do it just to have ease of access to funds. People wouldn't do it for purposes of tracking their kids when it was called VeriChip.
And by the way, they just pulled it up. That Bill Gates owns that. And that's the chip.
Yes.
Look, oh, yeah. Scroll down. It shows the person.
What was
and how now 5G monitors as your boss what you do. In live time 3D, it scans your body. So it looks through walls. Remember his original Kinect, Microsoft.
Right. Yep.
10 years ago, 15 years, look through your wall. And walk, that, right. This is Kinect.
Right.
5G in your house. Everywhere, make monitoring what you do with a damn chip.
And ultimately, it's a chip that may have, I mean, my question is, how would a chip be able to have vaccine capabilities, right?
So, well, it's a nano ink. That's one of the other ones. A nano ink in the injection.
Right, the quantum tattoo. But at some point,
you can't get rid of it.
Right, and at some point, you would assume that that chip technology would be able to inject things into your body.
Oh, of course
that
it
would
is.
Be the point and purpose of it.
Oh, yeah. It's
for it to be effective, quote unquote. As a, because like he's talked about,
it's got to be updated.
Exactly. He's talked about,
let's talk about it. You're absolutely right. Robert Barnes is here. Let's go out to break with Trump, you know, going, hey, do you really believe China with the biggest population in the world, five times the U.S. almost, has less cases than us? Does anyone believe this? Here it is.
Next slide. And then we also wanted to show
closer to the number for Iran. Does anybody really believe that? You see what's going on over there. Does anybody, you put that slide back if you would. Does anybody believe this number? Does anybody believe this number? You saw more.
And this is why.
Bags on television.
You know.
This is why the reporting.
I'm not bragging about this, but the few times I get to talk to Trump, I go, sir, please don't tell me I'm great, okay? I appreciate you too. Fireside chats with graphs with you up there pointing at TV screens. And he's finally doing it, and it's devastating. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. All right. right, we are back live. We're into hour number two. I do intend to open the phones up a lot this next week. We've got the new great show that's a specialty program. Might go a month, might go 2 months, as long as Barnes wants to go, as long as we're here on air, able to be here on air, and that's America Countdown. Countdown to the election, countdown to the attempt to start a depression, countdown to destroy this republic unless we stand up to it. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I keep saying this almost every segment. I've been on air 26 years. And I'm the type of guy that when some big bully starts a fight with me, I'd actually don't choke. I mean, I really have a lot of confidence. And when I get in a storm, I get better in a storm. Things are so bad, so ridiculous, so corrupt, so insane that I'm freaked out that people aren't getting more upset. A lot are, and that's great. And I guess I have not found my breaking point, but I have found my point of tomorrow we're going to premiere this investigative report. Bill Gates openly has his digital tattoo that is patent 666. You can't make this up. And how you'll buy and sell with it. And he admits that that's will be in the new vaccine and that he'll have a new global cryptocurrency. So imagine Microsoft wants in your body. They'll get you to do it in the name of a thing that tracks you. Apple, Google have all merged their ID systems. That means Apple, that's already based in China as of 2 years ago, has all your personal data. It's a total world government happening now. And I don't know if Trump, Robert Barnes, constitutional lawyer that just filed suit on Michigan and others for their police state lockdown, Fox News covered it last night. I don't think people realize, I don't think Trump even realizes this is the big technological takeover. This is happening now.
Correct. I mean, I think Trump's concerns tend to be very more short term, and that's good and bad in this context. So it's good in the context that he's trying to get the economy going, good that he's pushed back when they've violated First Amendment or Second Amendment rights so far.
Yeah, but he's picked his battles.
Exactly. And I think he was kind of sideswiped and shocked by everything that occurred. The way the markets collapsed, the way the people started shutting down across
the way Americans rolled over.
Exactly. I think he needs, there's a reason why he put out messages like liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, liberate
Minnesota. He's calling for us to be the leaders.
Exactly.
He needs the pressure from above. So he can give the cover from above. You need to summon him.
Absolutely. And that means there need to be more suits, more public protest, more acts of civil resistance, civil disobedience within the law with the to do so, because otherwise, unless
with an urgency you've never had.
Absolutely. Because
I'm telling myself that. I'm like, that's my problem. I'm like, Jones, you've got to up the next level. And I'm already trying to max what I do. And I'm like,
because this is unprecedented. We've never had this. I keep telling people this in different interview contexts, other contexts. This has never happened in American history. We have never had this degree of suppression of civil liberty. We have never been under mass house arrest. The closest example is what happened to the Japanese in World War II.
Exactly. And notice he's not attacking Texas and stuff that he knows that the governor is trying to open up.
Yeah.
He's saying these are states seized by globalists.
Exactly.
And you're already out there, so you're making the electoral connection to the president. He didn't say California, notice, because they're not, you know, calling for his help. But Trump's coming in. He needs us to do it.
Well, it's not a coincidence that they're doing this in states that are key swing states, like Minnesota, like Michigan, like Virginia. The pressure, and like Pennsylvania, all the states that are key swing states are where the Democrats are putting the maximum pressure on shutting down civil society, going to go to a vote-by-mail system where they can do ballot harvesting en masse, going to shut down the economy. The unemployment rate in Michigan is 22%. So, I mean, it's skyrocketing in those locations.
We've got 25 million people unemployed since this began. And by the way, when they put out signs saying the governor's a Nazi, national news didn't show video. They said the protesters had swastikas out and are Nazis.
Yeah.
No. When they made Raiders of the Lost Ark, Steven Spielberg has people dressed up like Nazis. It's putting Nazis down. Steven Spielberg, as he displays a Nazi flag, isn't a Nazi. I mean, this idea that they're saying the governor is a Nazi, that makes you a Nazi.
When you have governors like Virginia, who's been one of the worst, we're going to be suing him next week. Is someone who actually had wore Klan outfits, wore blackface. I mean, there's someone who engaged in actual racial propagandizing in his earlier life. And yet he suffered no political consequence for it because he's on the media side of the political equation. And he is, like, for example, and what's happening there and across the country, they're preventing people from getting access to the ballot, preventing the ability to petition to recall these rogue governors because you're not allowed to circulate the petition. You're not allowed to meet with other people to peaceably assemble to make sure that the people get the message so that they can validate signatures for those petitions. You can't get on the ballot. You can't get on the ballot as an independent candidate. You can't get on the ballot as a primary challenger. So they've designed this to promote and protect the system, and they're getting away with it. Even
politics. No, I agree. I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark last night again. That's almost a perfect movie.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many. That's in part of that movie is where they do the book burning and where people
exactly. When you watch it now in today's context, like every part of it is like so rich.
And it's the same methodology. I mean, if people remember, not only did the Nazis borrow from the eugenicists here in the United States for their own ideology, and then we exported them all back after a lot of them back after World War II and Operation Paperclip. But on top of that, you have a background in which the methodology they employed, like it wasn't so much that people necessarily wanted Nazi Germany to beat the United States, people like Joe Kennedy and others who backed them or supported them at key junctures. It was rather they wanted their methodology, their means of government. And you're seeing the same.
Wow. Policies. Wherever that came from, that's the symbol we show for big tech censorship, because that's what it is.
Absolutely. And what's key.
Again, radio listeners are missing the feed at band.video at infowars.com/show. Show that book burning again, because that's a color rendition of the real footage that went on.
Absolutely. All they did is they took the actual footage and just put it in nicer, colorful dramatics in ways that accurately reflect what took place. And what's significant there is that's all private citizens. People forget the book burning in Germany was never formally done by the government. It was done by private citizens doing it in mass, going raiding into libraries, grabbing books and taking them out and burning them, just as they're now banning you off multiple platforms, just as
that's what Mao did, too. They always sick the mob.
Exactly.
Communist and fascist. So let me show listeners this, since you mentioned this. Here it is. Wall Street Journal. Bet against the stock market rise to highest levels in years. And the very same globalist billionaires that are running around bad-mouthing the market are the ones that have done put options on it publicly. So they're getting ready for another big run to destroy Trump make Americans pay. This is the worst employment collapse in U.S. history by a very wide margin. Record government and corporate debt risk tipping point after pandemic passes. I mean, this is the globalist literally trying to do this to make us all dependent and get rid of Trump. 24-hour fitness weighs bankruptcy. America's biggest cities were already losing their allure. What happens next? This is just killing everything. But the left's killing their own cities under Chi-Com orders.
Well, and the other thing they're doing is they're affording the opportunity for the Fed to buy everything. So the Fed is going to start buying municipal bonds en masse. Municipal governments are lacking resources because they're not getting tax revenues coming in, cities, counties, states across the country. In fact, governments around the world are in that, are doing swaps because they have currency crises.
Yeah, that's right. The big mega banks are all behind this because they're bringing in a digital currency to fully control us and track everything we do and shut down grassroots economies. All grassroots is non-essential. Only they are essential. And this is the worldwide takeover. This is it, folks. We're going to go to break, come back with the Bill Maher piece where, I mean, I've never caught myself agreeing with Bill Maher on almost everything, but I think Maher gets up for betting against the U.S. economy and all his bad-mouthing that his listeners have turned against his ass, so he's trying to pivot back. But regardless, he tells the truth. That's coming up. That Owen Schroyer, I've asked him to come in and co-host with Robert Barnes the last two segments because he's got a lot to say and a lot to cover today. I've got some other things going on as well that are very fun, let me tell you. But separately, ladies and gentlemen, you need to protect yourself regardless. And with all this craziness, people have learned that, hey, vitamin D3 is really good for your body. Hey, zinc's really good for your body. Hey, iodine in its pure form is essential. People don't know about that. Talk about game changers. Talk about life changing. My brain works better now than it did 10 years ago since I discovered iodine. All of those products are 40 to 60% off, despite the fact they're selling out. So many other products have sold out. And the way things are working with the supply chains, we'll never know if we're able to order again some of these things. So if you order supplements, we have them in stock. They ship the next day. But when it comes to food, it takes a few weeks to get. We had to suspend food sales to make sure that our big distributor got caught up shipping those out. They're able to take orders now again and get them out ahead of schedule. Infowarsstore.com. You get right in the front of the queue, right as your order comes in, right the order received with My Patriot. They run our back end. They're our partners. And it gets out absolutely right when those orders come in. And we're able to take the orders again. And again, forget the coronavirus, folks, as I told you 10 weeks ago. The globalists are buying up the food because if there's a total depression, which now looks like maybe unavoidable, we'll talk about when we come back, how bad it is, we may be able to fix it. We reverse now. But this is siege. This is economic lockdown. Once they cause a chain reaction like this, it's very hard to come back from. That's why now, while you still can get high-quality, storable food, at one-fifth the cost you're going to get at stores with all their jacked-up prices at InfoWarsStore.com. Get the storable food while you still can. They've got 1 week, 2 month, 3 month, 6 month, a year, and they're high-quality, very transportable, and they last 25 years, and it supports the InfoWar. A total win-win. Take action now.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. you're feeling. Look at the blood we're spilling. Look at the world we're killing.
Welcome back. Robert Barnes is here. Owen Schroyer's coming up. And then you got David Knight, weekday mornings, 8 a.m., myself, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You've got Owen Schroyer, The War Room, right on the InfoWars Network from 3 to 6 p.m. Then you got now 7 to 9, American Countdown on the election, on the virus, the countdown to depression. This is a fact. 25 million, 26 million people on unemployment just the last 2 months. Most economists say the point of no return has been crossed. Can this be turned back now? I mean, they think that there's no memory in the public. And that Trump's going to get the blame.
Well, it also may be the case that they don't want it to turn back for two reasons. One, to be able to defeat Trump and remove him. Say, and that's sort of the immediate political objective. Longer term objective is you had a lot of debt around the world, a lot of dollar denominated debt around the world. And the Fed has, even though the law says the Fed can't be doing a whole bunch of things, the Fed.
So this is a permanent reset using an emergency.
Absolutely. And the Fed can, the big corporations are all getting bailed out. Bezos got, I think, 20, 30 billion or whatever it was. All of those people are being politically protected.
That's hilarious. We had lawyers check. We're like, oh, we're not really option for us, you know, with our crew for a bailout. But exactly. Bezos gets $20 billion.
In fact, nobody who was independent of the banks could get a bailout. Anyone who had been labeled having any sort of record, if you had a tax issue from 4 years ago and you pled and you did your, you know, probation, you even if you run a great business, you can't have access to it. So they've structured.
Yeah, I'm starting to get pissed right now because we're having trouble, you know, operating here. Even though we had a little extra money come in, it's still all the issues doesn't pay for it. And I'm watching this, and I'm going to have to pay taxes on that later with Jeff Bezos, who just got $24 billion, and who dumped his stock with 200 other CEOs right before the crash.
Remember how many big, important CEOs were stepping down in the 6 months prior to this happening? Bill Gates stepped down just barely before all of this happened. And so they then can't be responsible for what happens with their companies, but their stocks are being protected. In fact, the Fed is committed to buying up everybody's stock to prop it up into perpetuity. Not only that, the Fed is buying up municipal bonds, which means they could be the main creditor of your local
city. But mom and pop, lady cutting hair.
They're not getting anything. They're not getting the paycheck protection.
This is a war. And after this is all over, folks, remember, start only shopping with little guys and operations that are pro-America. You cannot give your money to globalists anymore. You see how dangerous it is to do it. Let's start going to Bill Maher here. Here's Bill Maher on Friday night. He's still slapping at Trump, but he ends it by saying, don't make Trump right that you're fake news. And he gets into how they're overhyping the virus by 10 to 1. Here it is.
The problem with nonstop gloom and doom is it gives Trump the chance to play the optimist. And optimists tend to win American elections. FDR said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You know, as full of as he is, I could see Trump riding that into a second term. And then there will be no hope left for you to shame. So, look, if this insanity happens again, news sources have to rein it in. Everyone knows Corona is no walk in the park, because you literally can't walk in the park. But at some point, the daily drumbeat of depression and terror veers into panic porn. Enough with the life will never be the same headlines. And stop showing us this. You know, everything looks scary when you magnify it 1,000 times. Here's a pubic hair. Boo! Last month, the Washington Post ran the headline, "It feels like a war zone," with this picture. This is not a war zone. This is a man with a box of eggs. And I've never seen a war zone with this much bacon. Or how about this one? Horrifying simulation reveals the dangers of jogging during the coronavirus pandemic. Look, this virus is easy to catch, but if you can't avoid it jogging, you can't outrun much. 2 weeks ago, Inside Edition said 76,000 in the world had died, so some are making comparisons to the apocalypse. The apocalypse? Really? Because most of us are sitting at home smoking delivery weed and binge-watching a show about a gay zookeeper. Unless you're a frontline healthcare worker, for whom the phrase above and beyond the call of duty doesn't even begin to cover it.
By the way, hit pause. That's a total virtue signal. The hospitals in England are four times less empty than ever. They're more than triple empty here because there's no essential stuff going on. They're empty. That's a fact. They're empty, folks, because it's a hoax. It's like a bad flu. Let's continue.
And I know. You expect Inside Edition to be over the top. But the New York Times, they used the same word last week. Braced for apocalyptic surge, New York avoids worst so far. And this was an article about how much better the city was doing than expected. Projections had them needing 58,000 hospital beds, and it turned out they needed a quarter of that. Still bad, but you don't have to put hot sauce on a jalapeno. Geez, you sound like Lindsey Graham talking about ISIS when Obama was president.
This president needs to rise to the occasion before we all get killed back here at home.
Another recent Times headline was, "It's terrifying. Millions more out of work." What the f*** is "It's terrifying" doing in a headline? Granted, it's a quote, but who are they quoting? Trump? Fauci? Stephen King? No, they're quoting an event planner in North Hollywood. No offense to the event planners of the world. It's amazing what you people can do with pine cones and silver spray paint. But why are you in my headline? How about this? Just tell me millions are out of work without the flashlight under the chin, and I'll decide how I feel about it. There was never headlines like this before. There was no, "It's terrifying, planes hit World Trade Center." There was no, "It's sad, Titanic sinks after hitting iceberg," or "First atomic bomb dropped, ouch." The media also seems obsessed with finding young people who've died of COVID-19. The Washington Post says there's 759 under 50 years old. Horrible, of course. Then I looked up how many under 50 died of the flu last year. Almost 3,000. So all this misery from distancing did some good. Can I be happy about that? Death is terrible, of course, no matter how it comes. I'm against it, and I don't care who knows it. But giving a proper perspective isn't a cover-up of the truth. It is the truth. Sudden dramatic deaths like plane crashes, shark attacks, tornadoes, mass shootings, terrorism, awful as they are, kill far less than seasonal flu or even hospital-acquired infections may very well kill more than coronavirus. 99,000 of them last year. 50,000 die of nephritis every year. And I don't even know what that is. 22 million Americans have filed for unemployment, and many will lose their health insurance. Studies show lacking health insurance kills people. But it doesn't lead to pictures like this, and it doesn't happen all at once. We need the news to calm down and treat us like adults. Trump calls you fake news. Don't make him be right.
All right, Robert Barnes is going to be taking over with Owen Schroyer and talking about the surge, the protest, federal judges ruling we can protest. Of course we can. It's the First Amendment and more, and where this is all going. And I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, The Alex Jones Show. But you'll also respond to when you come back briefly to why do you think Bill Maher is pivoting now? I guess mission accomplished, economy dead. Now he can act like he wasn't for it all along. We'll be back. Whatever you do, share the live links to band.video and infowars.com/show. We're in an information war, and we need you to fight hard.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It is Robert Barnes and Owen Schroyer with you here at the InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. And we've got a lot to get to here in the next 30 minutes. Let's start off, A, with the protests that are happening around America right now. I think that we're seeing kind of the growth curve. You know, we keep talking about these curves. I think we're seeing a growth curve right now of these protests. I think if we don't get a reopening in full by the end of this week, I think next weekend they're going to be bigger. I know that Alex wants to have another one next Saturday in Austin, Texas. I'm not sure how much he's been talking about that today. I've been around the office cutting ads. But Alex is saying, hey, let's organize another one. Let's be out there again Saturday. So, hey, I'm here in Austin. I'm going to be out there Saturday again at noon at the Capitol. I'll bring out the bullhorn again. I'll give speeches again. We'll have fun again. We'll do the live streams again. Everything. So there's that. There's us executing our First Amendment right, telling authoritarian governments, hey, look, we're still free in this country. We're still sovereign citizens. You can't stop our freedom of expression. I salute the Austin Police Department and the state troopers yesterday. Not arresting people, not harassing people for lack of social distancing or not wearing a mask. This is good. But Robert Barnes, we are going to see this. We've seen people getting arrested for paddleboarding or having a birthday party or a wedding. We've now had the threats of government saying, we'll fine you if you open your business or you don't wear a mask. What are the legal precedents? What are there any for a business to say, you know what, I'm going to be open. I have the right to be open. And then if you write me a fine or citation, I'm not going to pay that. Or I'm not going to pay a citation for not wearing a mask. Is there a legal precedent for this? Or how do you think about this?
Historically, the closest precedent is the Korematsu case. It's what happened to the Japanese during World War II. So that's the only time in our entire history in which we've taken away people's businesses, taken away their profession, their vocation, their occupation without due process of law, deprived them of their property without just compensation, shut down their ability to have free speech, free petitions, to peaceably assemble, to express themselves religiously, to be able to purchase a gun in their self-defense. The only time this has happened on any kind of scale was the Japanese internment camps. And just 2 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously said in Trump v. Hawaii that that was entirely unconstitutional, never should have been allowed. The Korematsu decision lives in infamy, much like FDR talked about living in infamy and going into World War II. Well, the Korematsu decision lives in infamy for the way in which it condemned people's civil rights and civil liberties, and there's not a judge or justice or legal scholar in this country that will defend it. And in that context, none of what's happening is constitutional. Now, in terms of scope, in terms of scale, in terms of severity, we have never experienced anything close to this, what is happening today in America. What took two centuries to build, our politicians have forfeited in 2 weeks, or in some cases, 2 days. They have sacrificed civil liberties and civil rights in ways that have never occurred. Closest analogy would be the way slaves were treated in the before the Civil War. That's the kind of situation we're in, where people don't have the means of or the legally protected right of peaceable protest without punishment or threat of punishment from the state, the legal right of religious expression without punishment or prescription from the state, legal right to purchase guns in their own self-defense in many parts of the country where they've shut down background checks so you can't purchase a gun in your own self-defense while they're releasing criminals. I mean, consider the irony of people out in public. Take people out of the public protest. Their risk is next to none of getting the infection. The studies have shown that sunlight is a disinfectant of this virus, has shown that humidity is a disinfectant of this, like it is other flu-like viruses, has shown that the heat can, in certain circumstances, suppress the ability for this virus to transmit. This virus struggles to transmit in open air. This virus struggles to transmit unless you are in close continuous contact for at least 15 minutes in either a confined quarters or with someone who's infected. See, that doesn't happen in a public protest. So the public protest presents no real risk at all of even spreading the infection. The people doing the protest are not vulnerable to this infection in the sense of becoming seriously ill, debilitatingly ill, or death, which is almost exclusively elderly people.
Even if there was that risk, it's our right to take it.
Yep.
And I don't like this notion they're pushing now that people need to be arrested for going out and gathering in public. That's absolutely absurd. But if somebody comes to you and says, hey, look, I just got written a citation for not wearing a mask or opening my business, what do you tell them? What is the best legal advice for them?
Well, it's even worse than that. You have businesses that have been literally locked down in Michigan. So they've literally come and, you know, put the locks on the doors and said, you cannot open. So they're accelerating across the country in what they're doing. And the other question of this sort of new medical Sharia law that's going to require people to wear masks just weeks after our Surgeon General said, don't wear masks. So they don't really know the answer on masks. They're pretending
they've been flip-flopping on that.
Exactly. It's because they think maybe, maybe not, maybe it only stops transmission. Maybe it doesn't stop getting it. They don't really know. The same people that told you we needed to shut down the beaches in Florida said that we should keep the subways open in New York City. So there was no logic to that. In fact, they cut down the number of subways operating to force more people into the same car for a longer time period. And guess what? It's the neighborhoods that rely upon that subway travel in places like Queens, which are almost the entire epidemic in the United States. So their policies created and festered the epidemic by what they did. They didn't help suppress it. So why should we trust them on anything else?
And by the way, Cuomo in New York is now saying, well, we're going to have to increase the social distancing and increase the quarantine because summer's around the corner. It should be the exact opposite. This is the same guy saying, no, keep the subways running, but stay inside in the summer. It's known that sunlight has always been helpful for building your immune system and giving you vitamin D from the sun and killing viruses. I mean, why are they going against this common knowledge?
It's extraordinary. I mean, in the same sense, today they arrested somebody for swimming by themselves at the beach. They've chased people for walking along the beach. They've gone after, as we saw in Malibu, paddleboarders. They're going after people that are surfers.
I mean, do we have to have like a class action? Do people have to take up like, how do you sue in mass to stop this from happening?
So we brought suit initially on behalf of businesses in the state of Michigan as our first case. We're going to be expanding that into a class action for a bunch of other people who have asked to join that. So that's going to be for every business in the state of Michigan that wants just compensation, that hasn't received it for the taking of their property. People whose professions, vocations, and occupations have been denied them without due process of law. People who do not have the right to travel within their own state. I mean, the Fourth Amendment, you are arrested if your freedom of movement is restrained. That's what this is. This is mass arrest under the Fourth Amendment without probable cause of a crime, without clear and convincing evidence that this person has a transmittable disease. That's the requirement of a quarantine. You quarantine the sick, not the healthy. You quarantine the people who are deadly. You don't quarantine the Constitution. But what our politicians have done is quarantine the Constitution. And they're doing it as a live Milgram experiment into social control at a degree and scale that only China had tried and the Soviet Union had tried before. And that's what we're witnessing in live time. And unless people push back, they're testing to see what the resistance level is. So like I sue the mayor of Chattanooga, he backs off right away. The Harmeet Dillon brought suits in California. Many of the governors and the governor and the mayor are backing off some of those positions. So yeah, they're looking at how far can we go? I mean, it's the old Orwellian principle. You don't really have power like in 1984 until you can get a person to change their own opinions and flip and do whatever you tell them to do whenever you want them to do it, even if it's contradictory. No better example of that than the masks. They're getting to see, okay, we tell people not to wear masks. What happens? Oh, they don't wear masks. We tell them they have to wear masks. What happens? Oh, they do wear masks. They're going to keep going and going and going and going.
Now you can't even go to a grocery store without wearing a mask, which is just, I mean, I don't know how this is going to be the new normal. It's not going to be for me. I'm not going to wear a mask to a restaurant or a ball game.
It's a form of medical Sharia law. And especially when there isn't really, first of all, there's a big difference between advisory guidance, which is what the president has done. He's refused national lockdown orders. He's included the Second Amendment within essential services. Now it made clear that the First Amendment for religious purposes is protected. And he's the one who tweeted out everybody this weekend, liberate Michigan, liberate Minnesota, liberate Virginia. The reason he was doing that is clearly these were states that were under unconstitutional suppression and repression. The disappointing thing for him is almost everyone around him doesn't share his agenda. They share you're seeing the Fed carefully select who's going to be winners and losers.
Oh, totally. It's beyond fascism, what's happening there. And I think that the president, at least my hopes, is that the president is relying on America to stand up,
yes,
for Americans to open their business. Because, I mean, he's not the one that's filing edicts or anything to stop you from operating your business. Challenge your mayor. Challenge your governor. Force them to write you a citation and then sue their ass. They'll tear it all up. And the more people do that, the more lawsuits they'll have in court and the more the judge will be, you know, implied to say, okay, I'm just tossing all these out. I can't deal with all these cases. We're going to reopen America. And then the next thing, though, if we don't push back now, the next thing is going to be, oh, you don't want to wear a mask? Well, then we're going to have to test your microbiome and see what's in there and see if COVID-19 is in there. Because if so, we're going to have to send you into quarantine, even though it's just another bug, just another virus in your microbiome. There's thousands of them. Are you going to have to stay inside because you have viruses?
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
I mean, we should have been having a live stream during the break here, the conversation Robert Barnes and I were just having, but I want to stay focused and get to this Nancy Pelosi clip so we can respond to this. The president needs to understand something because they keep saying they're monitoring the situation on social media with the censorship. This is what the president needs to understand. Mr. President, I have recently been banned from Twitter. And so today I did not receive any tweets from you. I was not able to view your tweets. And all I was able to do was watch cable news, which didn't feature anything from you today, but did feature Nancy Pelosi. So, Mr. President, you need to understand, I'm not getting access to you. I'm only getting access to Pelosi now because of this censorship. This is very dangerous. Now, I'm informed. I know how to find you anyway. Other Americans are not.
And I can tune into your press conference tonight, but you know they pull that off air as soon as you go off script and as soon as you say something that they don't want to be heard. So this is another level of the censorship. It's directly affecting America from hearing your message. Now, look at the way Chris Wallace, I don't trust this rat, tees up the clip of Nancy Pelosi saying, come to Chinatown, and hear Nancy Pelosi's response today on Fox News.
I want to point out that on February 24th,
that demonic look on her
you
face.
Went
How can
on
anybody
a
trust that?
Tour of Chinatown like to try to promote tourism there. And here's some
the ones that they're doing all the Beverly Hills, all the plastic surgery with cannibalism.
Everything is fine here. Come because precautions have been taken. We think it's very safe to be in Chinatown.
Well, you're not going to believe this answer. Come. Listen to the Pelosi.
If the president underplayed the threat in the early days, Speaker Pelosi, didn't you as well?
No, what we're trying to do is to end the discrimination, the stigma that was going out against the Asian American community. And in fact, if you will look, the record will show that our Chinatown has been a model of containing and preventing the virus. So I have confidence in
our
folks
there. She had to back that up, Don.
To offset some of the things that the president and others were saying about Asian Americans and making them a target, violence across the country. And
set, oh, but violence now, she says.
Don't you think that when you're out walking without any masks, I understand this is February, not April, when this happened, yeah. And saying that there's no threat, it's perfectly safe there, weren't you also adding to this perception that there wasn't such a threat generally?
No, I was saying that you should not discriminate against Chinese Americans, as some in our administration were doing by the way they were labeling the flu and that. No, indeed. And again, I think if you check the record and it's current, you will see that Chinatown has been a model in all of this.
Well, tell us the record.
And that's what we're saying. Look to them for answers. Don't look to them to place blame.
And then she twisted to Trump.
Protests. Of course.
So hey, I'll pause it right there. So first of all, let me just say one thing. Okay, if you're ever in a conversation with anybody that has to force a smile through the whole conversation and is probably wasted, but that's a whole nother issue. You know, maybe don't trust. She sits up there like.
Yes.
But see what she did? So Chris Wallace, look, I just don't trust him. Why would he have her on there to begin with?
Why would she go on there to begin with?
So she can defend herself and call Trump a racist. And then in the next clip, we may not get to it. She twists the blame from China and blames Trump. So that's all it was. Chris Wallace gave Nancy Pelosi a platform to call Trump racist and blame Trump for the coronavirus.
And the only reason she would go on Chris Wallace is that Democrats feel very comfortable and very confident that he will repeat and broadcast their message, not question it or contest it or challenge it. So that's why what's happening is happening. And so the fact that someone like her is going on Fox, remember, I think Obama only went on Fox once in 8 years. So the fact that she's going on it is because the key Democrats now see Fox as an ally in their political war against the president.
And of course, Fox has 10 times the ratings of a CNN or an MSNBC, even more so on a Sunday. So they know the only time you're going to hear Nancy Pelosi is on Fox News. But again, I couldn't hear or see Donald Trump today. I was banned on social media, but I got to see Nancy Pelosi thanks to Chris Wallace and Fox News. The president needs to know that. All right. Let's continue here. Nancy Pelosi is now going to blame the president.
Are growing across the country.
People Again, look at
are
that
taking
fake face.
To the streets, pushing back against some of the more stringent restrictions in some states. Can you understand why they're doing that?
That's how you usually tell a real smile is the
really,
eyes
because
move.
Because what we have
but I don't
do
think
is,
her eyes are capable
is
or like around the
she's also like 80
something. That is really the answer. Testing, tracing, treatment.
Oh, tracing.
Shelter in place.
Little, shelter in place.
You think
a little needle in your eye.
Unfortunate, but you know, people will do what they
safe.
Do. But the fact is, we're
sure
all impatient. We all want out.
Do they have the chip?
What
they don't.
Doing
call us, please.
Really unfortunate, because what is great, though,
Mayor,
is
DeStasio.
The American, the American
she's upset that
the
people
American
are rallying.
People know,
I'm sure that she
that
is.
The good health of themselves and their families and their loved ones is what is important. important. And that's why you have seen such a overwhelming commitment.
And I love how she's like, oh, but you love your family. Stay inside for your family.
Distancing. Because really, it is the key to how we will open up our economy. The health issue is the key to opening up
the economy.
We can
only give you a job.
Unfortunately,
if you give up your rights.
What you see there is, you know, again, I'm respectful of whatever people think that they should say, but the fact is this has to be science-based, evidence-based, data-based, and the evidence.
All of it was based off models, you fraud.
Shelter in place, testing, contact tracing.
She's forgot her, like, memory points.
I mean, look at that face, though. That's the face of a fraud.
It was like a Westworld sort of disconnect there. She forgot what her lines were.
By the way, if I just may add, I do think focusing on that is a major distraction from testing. And does it serve as a distraction? Yes. But that's not what this is about. We're supposed to be focusing
on... This is supposed to be about putting chips inside of you. What's wrong with you?
Open up our economy. The sooner the better.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm proud of American people because by and large, they've embraced that.
So here she is promoting the tracing, promoting the testing, promoting the shelter in place.
It's genius, really, to use the pandemic as the pretext to get people to accept a chip, to get a digital monitoring of their physical body that can impact their body. That ultimately can translate into digital currency down the road with other chips. It's genius because it says, hey, if you want to feel safe, you need to have a chip. If you want a job, you have to have a chip.
Mm-hmm.
And you better make sure everyone else has a chip too, or they might be a threat.
Giving up your freedom for safety.
You won't be able to look on your phone to see whether that person has been properly
chipped. Oh my gosh,
chipped.
Does my neighbor have coronavirus? Oh, okay, he's good, he's good.
It's the Chinese social credit system.
By the way, guys, let's just do this as a practice on air. There's a conspiracy theory going around, but let's just do this as a practice on air. I don't know. Just search patent 060606. Let's just search that. Oh, they got it right here. Patent 060606. Cryptocurrency system using body activity data filed for by Bill Gates, Microsoft. Well, I mean, certainly there's nothing to see here.
I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, to be able to have, I mean, people have been talking about them needing to move to digital currency because they're going to collapse all the currencies around the world due to their high risk exposure that's happening right now. Because we have so much dollar denominated debt internationally. I mean, you're talking about trillion. There's about 4 trillion in currency. You're talking about foreign debt that may be over 100 trillion when you add it all up in commercial transactions and banks and the rest. And that's money that can't be met. And as the dollar rises, it makes those debts impossible to repay. So the general talk, and that doesn't even deal with dollar-denominated debt inside the United States, corporate bond debt, highest level it's ever been. Municipal bond debt is going to have to skyrocket. U.S. government debt is currently skyrocketing. So they were using corporate debt to buy back their corporate stocks to inflate the stock market. So it's all interrelated and interdependent. The Fed is just pouring money. They put trillions of dollars on their balance sheet, increased it by almost 50% in 3 weeks.
They're going to do it again, by the way.
Oh, they're going to keep going. They've committed to quantitative easing. They've created 12 different special vehicle units that are intended to get around the law that restricts the Fed.
What Trump did for the Democrats, and then, you know, the Republicans are in there too. I want to be clear about this, but really all of D.C., when he gave him that $2 trillion stimulus bill, that was like giving a crackhead an unlimited source of crack.
Oh, Nate.
And so immediately the next day, they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. I can get more money. Oh, my God. We're ready for the next stimulus. $4 trillion this time. $7 trillion. Give everybody a dollar, though.
Well, and what people are not even seeing is that on top of the $2 trillion, the Fed has already printed an additional $2 trillion. The Fed has committed to its balance sheet has gone from $4 trillion to $6 trillion. And the Fed is committed to increasing however much it needs. It's created 12 different units, special vehicles, to buy up municipal bonds, to buy equities directly, to buy mortgage-backed securities, to buy U.S. Treasuries.
So it's basically like Trump is either intentionally breaking the Fed or this bubble is going to burst, folks. And that's why we're selling emergency food. Look, we're not telling you this is over a virus. Hey, it's for anything. Maybe it is a deadly plague because of all the illegal immigration, like tuberculosis breaking out in California, bubonic plague breaking out in California. They don't quarantine for that, though. But, folks, economic collapse, the collapse of society, it's all happening. We still have storable food at InfoWarsStore.com. It's one of the last places you can still order storable food, emergency food supplies is at InfoWarsStore.com. Most people can't deliver right now. We have the stock. We're ready to ship. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. And that's how you keep us on air to keep these ever important transmissions going. For Robert Barnes, for the crew, I'm Owen Schroyer. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.